Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
Welcome to Sweet Discussions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am a member of All Poetry, one of the world's greatest poetry sites. And in that little group or large group is a wonderful group called King of Voices. And in King of Voices, we have our illustrious leader, Deb, who I thank every chance I get for letting me have my little group here. Tonight, we are going to be talking about today, which is the World Elephant Day. The song you heard is written by our own Che Hatter and sung by Shout Yun Chai. And I loved that song today, especially because there's a whole lot of thing about elephants, and they don't have words that they can say. And I love that particular line in that song. And they're silent, giant creatures, and they have a lot of love to give. And they love a whole lot of things, especially their family and their kin, and we're going to go into talking a lot about that. Tonight is going to be a little different. It is my personal soapbox show, which Deb allows her, our group, our poets that they do, they get to pick a subject and kind of talk about it for the night. So why don't you give us a call and we will chit-chat about that. You can call in, enjoy. You don't necessarily have a, you don't have to have a poem. You just join and talk to me about, you know, elephants, what you think, all that fun stuff. You can give me a call at 646-668. Look at that. Just all went away on me. I'll get you the number, I promise. But yeah, just give us a call. You don't have to have poetry. It's just a matter of chit-chatting with us and talking about that. And if I can get back to where my number is, I'll let you know. I should have it memorized, but I don't memorize numbers anymore. Who does? Let's see if I can do that again. It's 646-668-2837 with the United States code is 1. If you want to share some fun things about elephants, let me know. In the studio, I do have my wonderful man, Rackintor. Hello, Rack.
Hello.
And he brought, obviously, an elephant with him. And then I have Mad Mad Hatter. Hello, Hatter.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Yay. All right, so I am going to start off with a crazy, crazy elephant story, which is nuts, which either says I have very bad parents or the zoos have really changed the way they do things, and the zoos have really changed the way they do things. When I was a very tiny child, not even, I would say, 2 or 3, because I have no memory of this, so... So I had to be probably under 2. My parents set me down next to my brothers. I was in a little, you know, stroller. And my brothers were told, watch your sister. And my parents went to do whatever they went to get popcorn for the kids or whatever. And my brothers were not very good at the basic command of watch your sister. And we were in front of the elephants. I have loved elephants since I was very young. So I proceeded to get out of my little carriage and walk into the very elephant kind of fence, because you could just crawl under it and it was a big dirt, and then they have the pit and the elephants were on the other side. But you could throw peanuts at the elephant and their trunks could reach out on that dirt pit and they would grab the peanuts. Well, I was sitting like where they could reach the peanuts and trying to feed the elephant peanuts. Needless to say, there was a big hubbub at the zoo because obviously I was sitting on the dirt and the little elephant trunk was trying to kind of sniff me. But I was just trying to feed me peanuts. Again, I have no memory of this, but obviously as a very young child, I decided that it would be fun to go hang out with the elephants. So since then, I have been a collector of elephant things, like little statues and crystal you know, just little trinkets of earrings and all that. Now, the problem with that thing is once people say, oh, you like elephants, everyone and their mother seems to want to give you something that has an elephant. So when I was about 21, I stopped. I'm like, okay, no more elephant things. I don't need any more. I don't have any room in my home. I don't. So eventually, now that I am many, many, many years past that, I've given away all kinds of them, and I have a few, like, around that I love and a few pictures and things like that, because there is no way anyone needs almost 600 statues, little dies, little anything of an elephant living around them. You just don't need that much. But that's kind of my passion, and that's what I do. So welcome to Sweet Discussions and World Elephant Day. Now that I've run my mouth, Hatter, what's your thoughts on World Elephant Day?
Well, a couple stories that come to mind. The Elephant Whisperer, for one, was a quite incredible story. Yeah, elephants are one of the great tragedies of humankind. That's with magnificent, regal animals. We're going to lose them. We're going to lose them just like we did the rhinos. And then, you know, it's a shame. It's a crying shame. And it tends to, people wait until it's too late. they'll say, oh, well, you know, we've got to do this and do these certain things to try to save them. And then it's like sort of forgotten. And then the next time you hear it, there's one left in the wild, or they've gone extinct. They're so far on the endangered list, they won't make it back. Especially an elephant. I mean, the female elephant's pregnant for 2 years before they give birth.
Yes, they are.
And then they can't.
Crazy.
They don't reproduce until they're. I'm not sure what the age of to be able to reproduce. But by that time,
the same
you know,
as
it's
humans
not
about.
Like they. What's that?
I think it's. Let me. Before I speak, I will. But I believe it's almost the same as like human. They are like above teenage age.
You know, I did hear a story the other night that in China, there's a band of elephants that they built in their natural habitat, I guess. And these elephants are the sort of elephants are just roaming through the like residential and cities, towns and cities. They have videotape of them going through downtown China, wherever it is, at night. And for instance, celebrities are trying to figure out what to do with them. I think China is one of the countries that are notorious for pretty much not caring too much about wildlife. I might be wrong with certain social things.
With the Asian elephant, I think the whole world, including China, is really focused on saving them. With the Asian elephant, there is only approximately 40,000 to 50,000 Asian elephants left in the entire world. 40,000 to 50,000 Asian elephants. I can't even grasp that there's only that many Asian elephants left.
Yeah, the Asian elephant was used just like the camels were, just like oxen were, just like horses are.
Right.
They're beasts of burden. They're very tameable. They're not as rogue as the African elephant. But it doesn't mean they can't mess you up. But they have been the tractors of India and that type part of the world for centuries.
Right.
Since Genghis Khan brought him over the Swiss Alps. Can you imagine that?
Right. And the... Yeah. Yeah.
The Romans didn't know
what
it was. And then all of a sudden, was it Attila the Hun or was it...
Hannibal, wasn't it?
Guy. I'm sorry?
They've been a part
Hannibal.
Of our human history for...
Yeah. The guy used them to win war.
Yeah, the Romans didn't figure there's no way they could attack from the Swiss Alps, so they didn't worry about their backs against the Swiss Alps. And I think it was it wasn't Attila the Hun. I don't think it was.
Wasn't it Hannibal?
Anyway, Hannibal. That's right. Brought him over the Alps. And can you imagine just being a soldier in the Roman army and seeing an elephant? They had no idea what they were. And just having the elephants come as a weapon, oh my God. And then just moving elephants, how much feed did you have to bring and carry over the Alps, you know? Incredible.
And that was before clone
the bully mammoth. They've got the DNA, they've got everything they need to do it. Should they try cloning with a female African elephant try to reintroduce the woolly mammoth? Yes or no?
Oh, yeah, that's insane. Yeah. So I'm reading that story you talked about in China, and actually everyone is trying to get this herd back to the reserve. They somehow just went on the natural path they had gone for their lifetime within their DNA, and everyone in China is, even though they are currently in a very business center in tourism, they are clearing paths for them. They are, you know, letting them go on their natural journey, except for one male, which the bull had gone and wandered off like most of them do. They did tranquilize him and returned him to the reserve. But yeah, there's 19 of them, and they have just gone, and they're very highly protected. This is a pretty cool story. Thank you. If you don't know it, there's 14 Asian elephants literally running through China, not running, but doing their normal walk. They do. This is a path they've probably done for centuries, and they're walking across. This is a great picture. Look at, they're walking across this huge bridge, just walking across it, stopping traffic, everything. There's not a car or a truck on this highway, and you've got this herd of elephants just going, hey, we were here 100 years ago. Yeah. I don't know what you people are doing, but they've been raiding farms and even kind of sat around a retirement home and just, you know, ate some food. And I can't imagine how wonderful and exciting that is just to watch this. But they're headed right back home. But it's their natural habitat to make that circle. And they've always done this journey. You know, they always go.
Yeah, their story sort of leaked out, and then they became instant celebrities. And I'm hoping that that's true, that they will be taken care of. I don't trust the media anymore. I hope that is true, what's going on. I think they're very, very spotlighted. They're under the microscope, so I think they'll do the right thing.
Right. That is just pretty cool. And I agree, sometimes meeting them, but this is pretty, pretty awesome. What a great story. And of course, you know, the highlight of it, China's wandering elephants may be finally headed back home.
Yeah. Did you read of the elephant whisperer, Lawrence Anthony?
Not. I would love to hear that story.
Lawrence Anthony saved these elephants from being shot and killed because they wouldn't stay on the reserve. He helped build and strengthen the reserve. I guess it was his own land, or it was the African land forest reserve or a plains reserve. Now fed them. There's only a couple of them that he had as you would call as real close pets. I mean, they weren't pets, but that knew them. Otherwise than that, they were just elephants. There's two big herds of them, and they live on the reserve. And he pretty much is responsible for saving their lives, because the farmers and poachers were when Lawrence Anthony died, there was for 2 weeks a procession of elephants came to the farm and stood at the gates, and for 2 weeks, two different herds mingled. Now, they don't know how they knew he died, because he wasn't a hands-on, didn't feed him every day, that kind of a thing. He just made sure that they were protected in this land. But they still don't know how these elephants knew that this guy died. He was known for being able to calm very agitated elephants at times when they needed to be tranquilized or either injured and needed help. So he was called the Elephant Whisperer, but they don't know how the two herds, I don't think the two herds ever mingled really, but they both showed up at the farm days after, or within a week after his death, and they hung around for weeks, and then just like they do to mourn their own dead, the elephants. And that's quite a story. You can read about Lawrence Anthony and bring it up. It's quite interesting. They even have a video documentary on him.
That's pretty, yeah. So there's going to be a lot of things that we recommend. I have quite a few things that I'm going to recommend that people would. First off, I'm going to talk about the controversy of the first circus elephant. I bet you didn't even know there was a controversy.
Ringling Brothers, the one that he tried to electrocute?
No. See, that's the whole thing. There's two of them. You have Topsy, who was electrocuted because he killed three people. And then you have Old Bet, who wasn't electrocuted. So Ringling Brothers had Old Bet. And that was an African at the heart of America's circus mythology. she actually did not exist. She was a pitcher. And a lot of people did not know that because old Topsy, he was actually electrocuted for killing three people. Old Vet is a pitcher that was in a magazine.
Is that the one Edison electrocuted to try to prove Tesla's AC was more dangerous than DC?
No.
He electrocuted an elephant. Okay.
I hope not. God, I don't know. I hope Topsy wasn't killed by us. That would make me very unhappy. That's awful.
It is. It is. That was the war between Edison, Westinghouse, and Tesla. And Tesla got the raw end of it.
Oh, no. But Topsy was killed because he killed three people. So they decided to
euthanize him.
That he was going to be... Yeah, he was euthanized through electricity, which was from a horror show.
Terrible. That's terrible.
Right, and that was back, yeah. And Edison didn't have anything to do with it.
One thing about elephants is they communicate in such low tones that we can't hear.
And actually, I am very sorry to say, Topsy was killed by the Edison Manufacturing Company.
He was the elephant?
That was the elephant, I think, yeah.
An elephant. A 1903 film of the electrocution of Topsy, shot by the Edison Manufacturing Company. Among the press the day Topsy was killed, through Edison Film Company, possibly directed by Ed, blah, blah. I'm trying to see if he was actually... Yeah, he actually killed him.
Yeah, it was a public gimmick thing.
Yeah,
that's
Coney
that's
Island.
With AC and Edison was into DC. Well, so in order for the government to go for the DC as far as research, Edison had to show how dangerous AC current was. So he took an elephant.
See, this is just awful.
He took an elephant and electric.
So anyway, he was not owned by Ringley Brothers. So he's born by the Faw Pog Circus. I'm sure I'm totally screwing that. It's Foreepagh Circus. He was not a Ringling Brother and Barney and Bailey Circus elephant. But it was filmed. You can look it up and you can see the actual film of electrocuting an elephant. So... But the reason they electrocuted him was because he had killed people. And obviously, the killing that goes back to Morde is because of the abuse of the trainers and everything on the elephant. And there's a whole psychological study of what happens to animals who are kept in captivity and abused and all of that. I have just, I've lost a lot of respect for Thomas Edison right this moment. But that's a whole other group of things going on. So now I am going to, since we are now 23 minutes into the show, going to actually read a poem. Go figure.
A poem?
Let me get that. A poem on a poetry show. Go figure. Why would we do
a package of a poem?
Yeah, I know.
Pachyderm poetry.
I can't imagine why would a pachyderm poetry? Yeah, I like that.
Never forget it.
Oh my God, I love that picture. Deborah Lee is putting up these amazing pictures. One of my favorite facts about the elephant: if you ever see a picture where an elephant is jumping or anything, elephants can't jump. Never, 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 never. Elephants don't jump. Any picture of an elephant in the air or jumping from something is Photoshop. Just FYI. So this is Elephants by Sleepy. Elephants walk in framed footprints of their ancestral clans, line up in single file led by the monarch. Wrinkled and gray, she leads her family through mountains and across the green valleys. generations of daughters sense the nursery of day as they vacuum up water into trunks and then watch it spray atop their dusty, scorched bodies. Cattle, egret, and white feathers flutter around using the elephant as taxi, or they carry them around the mighty jungle. Elephants have friends, monkeys, zebras, and giraffes, but fear one enemy has come to pass. As men in pitchers, mouths full of wisecrack, hold ivory tusk of their latest skill and pull. And that is something that really brings me to tears. It actually makes me cry.
I had heard a story on the matriarchs of the herds, the elephants. Now, it's almost like once or twice in a lifetime, they're led to this salt deposit, which is far away from water. It's like for one matriarch to remember how to get there, and then by the time the herd is led back there, usually they're no longer the matriarch. There's another female that has taken control of the herd, but they know how to get there. And it's quite a trek. It's away from water. It's something that it's going to be hard on the herd, but they need the salt, like apparently. And it's quite remarkable how they, I think that's where
true.
They come. That's why elephants never forget. It's kind of that means that's what, where that came from.
It is true that there is, many times that happens where the matriarch, they change and they always know where they're going. They always know that path. And the other very interesting is sometimes on that walk, on their yearly journey, they will come across bones of an elephant that died, and they will stand there and they will mourn.
Yeah.
They will mourn for their fallen.
Yeah.
And that is something that kind of
yeah,
kills
me. That's what they talk. They talk in those low tones when they mourn. And we can't hear it. They can't hear it, but they're talking.
Yeah. And I'm just crazy. Zach, do you have anything to say? that's him being an elephant. And Deb's joined us. Hello, Deb.
Hello. Great poetry. Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
You forget how many, I was just writing that you forget how many, quote, human emotions they share with us, but no matter how you look at it, they're better people than all of us are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when they found the stashes of ivory, when they opened up the trade routes into Africa, they found the stacks and stacks of ivory tusks. It's just the pictures they have of it is just, it's quite impressive, but it's sickening at the same time. That's when they started outlawing and to be illegal. Terrible.
Okay. So we focus on ivory, which is, this is part of my soapbox and elephant beef. And this, people, if you never hear me say another word, I am going to beg the entire world that listens to me and my ramblings and my silliness and my darkness and all the things that you may listen to me. Listen to what I'm going to say. Never ever buy anything with palm oil. Palm oil is destroying our world. And I cannot express it any more than that. It is
I remember you saying that last time, so I went and checked it out. And yeah, you're right. That's what they're planting in the rainforest to farm, right?
Yeah, it is destroying our world.
There.
Yeah, palm oil is inexpensive. It can withstand high temperatures. Its other advantages are it yields 6 times greater than canola oil. It's 10 times greater than soy oil. It is found in almost 50% of all consumers' goods, including cake mixes, ready-to-made foods, margarine, peanut butter, and cookies. The palm kernel oil is similar to cocoa oil and is used as a substitute for the fat in many chocolate products. It's also an important ingredient in animal feed. Both types of palm oil are found in numerous non-food items, such as detergents, cosmetics, grease, production of PVC, and protein yeast. Ironically, palm oil is also used to make biofuels. So all of these people screaming at you not to use coal-based fuels because it's ruining our environment are out there destroying our environment for palm oil. Okay? It has devastating effects on the eco-rich rainforests of Malaysia, Indonesia. It is devastation. It is staggering. Staggering. There are 7 million acres in Borneo, Sumatra, that have been cleared. 4.9 million acres of rainforest are destroyed every year to make room for more palm oil plantations. By using undisturbed rainforests, corporations gain the added income from timber. Asian elephants in particular are facing new threats to the expansion of palm oil plantations. Among other human elephant conflicts, Asian elephants, remember there's 40,000 to 50,000 Asian elephants left in this world. And we're being told it's because we're using cars of gasoline. I'm sorry, but F word, insert. They're lying. Look into palm oil and what it is doing to our world. And okay, build me 17,000 soapboxes and what it's doing to our animals, our tigers, our every animal can possible. Every animal that they are saying we are losing, it's because of palm oil. There are enough products out there without it. But if we don't stop it, everything we eat, touch, and breathe is going to have palm oil in it. And I cannot express enough how much I hate this problem. But now let's get back to the beauty of this animal, and I will get off the soapbox. Okay.
Yeah, it's Sumatra and Borneo, they have the pygmy elephant herds that are extinct now. The introduction of man into the islands they contribute to why they are extinct. That they were their own species, basically. And I think it was Borneo or Sumatra. I can't remember.
Right
that
now,
was only probably the last 150 years, probably 150 years ago. Is one of the sad.
The Asian elephant, the orangutan, the tiger, and the sun bear are the most endangered animals. Wild habitats are being endangered because of deforestation for palm oil.
If you read the species of animals that have gone extinct within the last 100 years and if they have a reason why, it'll blow you away. Like I can't remember what was the last year that they figured the pygmy elephant was alive, but you got to look at what was happening in that part of the world at the time. People didn't think or didn't want to know that the palm oil thing is that being replaced for the whale oil. Is that what they use? Do you use whale oil for a lot of that stuff?
You're talking about vegetable oils. It's so cheap. It's just cheaper than your sunflower oils. It's just cheaper. It's got nothing to do with whale oils or anything like that. It's an edible product that yields more than.
The cosmetics. Cosmetics were the whale oil was used quite a bit.
Well,
it's like just about every oil.
Ambergris was used in perfume. That's what you think.
No, that's the vomit to the sperm whale, right? it's the vomit of a sperm whale is highly that is acceptable to use because they find it on the beaches. But what did they use whale oil for back when they were the whalers? I thought it was cosmetics, and maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, yeah, no. What Sweepy's talking about is
it's a vegetable oil.
Oh no, I understand. Last time you brought it up, the palm oil. I went and we did a little research. You're right. There are some highly questionable and concerns of this. And it's like you're basing it on an economy of a country, and it goes along with why we're so hated in Afghanistan, for example. They grew the opium poppy. This is related to it. Is that we went in and burned the fields. Now that's the only way that's the only way they had an income to feed their families. We didn't go in there with a plan to teach them how to farm. We learned that decades later. This is what we need to do. The Japanese and their fishing, the illegal nettings, the deep water nettings, that's all they know. But you've got to offer something else if you want to ban something. You can't just take the livelihood of some people and eliminate it.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But you also can't take the livelihood of an entire species.
Absolutely. You got to take the whole equation. Yeah, and the poor elephant with the farming. Now, how do you keep an elephant out of your farm field? How do you do that? Good luck.
It takes a bigger fence than for a rabbit. Let me tell you that. So I want to get back to poetry and get out of the political stuff because I just. You know, all I know is that palm oil is a big part of destroying the planet, and that's what I want to focus on is find ways to save the planet. That's it, just find ways. And if it's your reduction in the use of products that have palm oil in them, that's all I'm asking.
Now, what groups are being active trying to ban palm oil? What groups are – is there a notable one that you can contribute to?
Asian Elephant Support. The Asian Elephant Support Group.
Okay.
And it's www.asianelephantsupport.org.
Elephants, man, what a magnificent beast they are. Just incredible.
Absolutely. I'm going to throw up some more poetry.
Okay.
Reed, I have a question, though. Actually, two.
Yes.
Did you see the 9,000 facts that I inboxed you for one?
Yes, I did, and you're going to read some of those facts.
Some of them were fascinating. And two, only because you already discussed this, and I don't want you backtracking because of my poem. Do you mind if I read mine? Because you talked about the circus and that kind of stuff already, and I should have told you that mine was about that.
Segway.
If you're about the circus and we did that, I would love to have your poem read.
Awesome. Okay. Where the hell did the group go? There you go.
I love the pictures you're putting up, by the way.
Thank you. this one, I don't know what parts of the world Barnum and Bailey Circus went to, but the first time I learned some of these things as a grown-up about things that I thought were amazing as a child, it totally devastated me. And the story of this elephant is one of the things that, I mean, it's criminal. It's heartbreaking. Anyway... This is about Sunder the elephant. And here we go. Imagine you're only three, taken far from your home, chained in a temple, legs locked, then left scared and alone. People coming around you force you to do their tricks. They're wounding as they torture by using straps, sticks. You spend 11 long years severely mistreated, continuously beating, fortitude depleted. Abuse just keeps on going, and you can't get away. Your body's sore and swollen, feeling tired, thirsty. Petitions signed to save you. Celebrities campaigned, and finally you're rescued. But angst and scars remain. You're taken to a refuge. Some elephants are there. Slowly, you're feeling at home, learning some people care. And this is 14-year-old Sunder the elephant, who was finally lives happily after 11 years of abuse and circus life. And who knows what would have happened to him if it weren't for a bunch of celebrities looking for some cause at that particular time. And I'm very thankful to know that he was rescued. The thought of those people wetting him and then shocking him kills. If there's any justice in the world, there just has to be a special place in hell for somebody who thinks it's a good idea to stoke an animal and then shock it into pushing a ball across the yard or whatever the case may be. And it's just, like I said, it's one way to take a beautiful, giggle-worthy childhood memory and smash it to bits. And that sent me, on a side note, very briefly, that sent me looking research the Steel Pier in Atlantic City, because when I was a little kid, you would go there and watch the skydiving horse, and I thought that the horse got a kick out of diving into the pool for everybody. No, he was prodded or would have never jumped. So the things they do in the name of entertainment, the beautiful elephants and other animals, is pathetic. Just saying.
Wow.
Interesting.
I mean, you know, I gotta say this wow. It hurts. It really does. It hurts because how dare anyone treat another living creature that way? And I don't care. You know, I gotta say, I step on ants. I don't like ants. I kill spiders. But I'm not going to take a match to them. I'm not going to torture them. I'm not going to pull off their legs. I'm not going to, you know, do anything to make them hurt. And there are people that go out to deliberately hurt. And then there are people that won't step on an ant or won't, they'll go and do things. Well, I'll put you over here or I'll put you over there. I'm not quite that nice, but I'm never going to torture. And this is just something,
you know,
I don't understand.
What makes it even a bigger tragedy is that we are now learning there are certain animals that realize they exist. They have a soul, for lack of a better term. They are intelligent. Everything from dolphins, horses, dog breeds, certain
right.
ones, and elephants. So to torture
right.
an animal that doesn't have the protection of going into shock, so they don't feel certain things, is a crime.
Right. And what I was going to say about Deb's poem is that this is the story of the two sides of a human heart, the souls that hurt and the souls that heal. Because you do have the souls that went after this elephant and didn't care, and then you have the souls that went after those people so that this elephant could heal. So it's not always that cool. And
You don't want to be remembered as one that abused elephants. You know, apparently they remember you. there were circuses people that displayed them that did care and did try to treat them right, even though that is captive. They did use chains. They didn't know better, but there were more of the ones that just abused. We allowed people to take care of these animals that should have never been around them. I think that's where the tragedy is. The gentle giant.
Okay.
It only hurts you if it has reason to.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Deb, wow. I mean, you know, you take the description of what goes on, and then you kind of go behind the scenes with this and give an indication of the things you'd rather not think about and rather not know. You know, like you said, you know, it ruins a childhood memory. It's horrible to think of, you know, abusing anything that feels like that. That there's instances of elephants clinging to the dead bodies before they're you know, taken away, that you can't separate them. You know, it really makes you stop and think, you know, what goes on in their heads. It's tragic to treat them like that for entertainment. You know, that there's certain, I don't know, I want to say, I guess, tribes or whatever that revere the elephant. And they may, you know, coexist with them, but it's more out of respect. And, you know, that's kind of the way it should be. You know, they'll, I'm trying to think of which tribe I'm remembering the story from, you know, where they would ride the elephants and work with them, but, you know, take care of them at the same time. And they would come and go on their own. You know, it was almost like, you know, they were punching a clock. They would show up and help out and do what they needed to do and then go back to, you know, whatever it was, and they would take care of them. Interesting stuff. I love the poem, Deb. It's, you know, focuses on exactly what CP's talking about, and the abuse, and like you said about the steel pier, you know, it brings that into mind as well. Really, really thought provoking and sad at the same time.
Thank you, Rick.
Did you know there was an actual real elephant named Jumbo? I mean, who Disney portrayed as Dumbo?
Yep,
it was,
absolutely.
It was Dumbo. Interesting story. But I've already told a couple.
Is my sweet okay?
She's probably talking to the mute button.
Or she's mad at me.
I am talking to the mute button. Dang it! I was like, hey, Deb has all kinds of interesting facts she brought us. Deb, why don't you read us some of your facts? Because you did so. And I'm like, what? Why isn't he not? What? Not? No, go ahead, Deb.
Let's start with the obvious one. Who knew that elephant females can get pregnant until they're 50? And a pregnancy lasts 22 months. 22, and we complain about 9.
No, thank you.
That's the problem with the whales too. They're just so, the gestation period is so long, just to try to get come back from an endangered list. Well, you know, we'll lose them. God, I
sure,
hate to say
yeah.
it, but just like the rhino, we're going to lose them.
All right. What's another one you're going to wow me with?
Let's see. How about that? You know, sweet, I heard you cover a few of these things because of how much you love them. I put them there just in case, but some of these were just so friggin' incredible. For example, I know you mentioned their deep family bonds, and they're so tight-knit group that the females help each other with their offsprings. And each herd consists of anywhere from 8 to 100 elephants, all led by the oldest and often largest matriarch. When a calf is born, the whole herd chips in. Males usually lead the herd between the age of 12 and 15, living solo or temporarily hanging out with other males. Elephants have the longest... Oh, I said that one already. Here's an interesting one. Elephants have 4 molars, 2 on the top and 2 on the bottom, located on the side of their mouth. Each molar weighs around 500 pounds, and it's the size of a brick. They can only grow 6 sets of molars over their lifetime, and when the last set is lost, the animal is unable to eat and eventually dies. I didn't know that they had, like, we can't our teeth 6 times. You get baby teeth and then grown-up teeth. They get 6. But 5. I'm sorry. Did I say 500? Each one weighs 5 pounds. That was kind of crazy. One
I was going to say, that's a heavy-ass tooth.
Yeah, right? I don't know. But 1 5 pounds.
I was like, how do they keep their mouths open?
Yeah, because I was like, wait a minute. That didn't sound right. That's why I had to go back and read some more. But wait a minute, no, that can't be. But
a big molar.
I didn't know that elephants have terrible eyesight and that they do most things by their keen sense of smell. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Their trunk
does a lot of stuff. All right, so I
that's
put
so,
Stephen's poem on the board, and we're going to welcome Lady A. Hello, Lady A.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
I'm doing good. We've got pachydermy poetry tonight.
What?
We got pachyderm poetry, which is lovely. I know that Bracken Tor came up with. It's pachyderm poetry. But I did just put Stephen on the board, so if you guys see that, I am going to go ahead and play that. Is everybody ready?
Yes.
Yep. Mm.
Yes. Woohoo.
Sumatran Elephants by Stephen 76. When millions of needles are cut and half and milled, polished ivory will bring plentitude. Gray matter graveyards are full of dead remembrances. Where once stood evergreen now stands biped shelter. Birdsong has changed to exhaust fumes and air horns. Rancid smell of indigo, Rafflesia, Arnoldi, replaced by the odor of thousands of rotting carcasses. The pachyderm weeps for yesterday, with no place to rear her child, memories of her dead mate's tusks being removed, and her childhood home, which is now a concrete jungle. End poem.
Oh, dang, Stephen. This is just heartbreaking again. I mean, we just constantly talk about how we're ripping these poor creatures apart and taking away everything that they are. And this is one of the areas that they're just tearing apart for palm oil. So just what we talked about earlier, and I won't get back into that. But the pachyderm weeps from yesterday with no place to rear her child. Memories of her dead mate's tusks being removed and her childhood home, which is now a concrete jungle. And I have to say, the way you read it, there was just like pain in your voice. I really enjoyed the read, too. There is so much pain in the language that was used and the imagery in that language. It's a test of a true poet when you can actually smell and feel and almost literally touch the pain of an animal. I mean, it's, you know, you can picture pain in a human that's with a broken heart, but to have empathy for the animal, an animal that can't raise their child, it's just a testimony to the great poet that you are, Stephen. And I really, really am grateful that you brought this to me. Lady A, your thoughts, please.
Well, I thought it was great, and I, you know, I besides gorillas and the ape world, elephants are my favorite animal. And I remember being taken to Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus when I was a kid in Montreal, and I always hated the circus because I always felt sorry for the animals, and in particular the elephants. And this poem speaks to a different kind of abuse, I guess, by stealing their home and their tusks, and still the poaching goes on. And Stephen did a really good job in promoting that, and I thought I liked how he wrote this poem. And, you know, the and, of course, the concrete jungle. It was really well written, and I appreciate it, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And Deb?
Yeah, I remember when Stephen brought this one, and the way he spoke of the animals through this, or the animal, the elephant, the beautiful elephant through this, made me see a little bit of like a kindredness between the two of you. It made me think of you as soon as I saw it, you know, because you're too... I am so impressed by your advocacy for the palm oil and the elephants that when I just did that poem about you recently to celebrate your one-year anniversary of being happy cartwheel and ginger. I put them in there because your love and compassion and fierceness for them is evident, and Stephen's is as well. So it's like a kinship between the two of you, and I could feel how much he cares, just like I do whenever you open your mouth about either one of those topics.
Thank you. And Rakentor.
Yeah, I like the reverence he talks about it. The mention of stealing their environment where once stood damn my eyes. Yeah, and then replaced with the shelters. I mean, you know, it reminds us of the shrinking environment, and, you know, it's really a sad thing to think about. And he used the word pachyderm, so I'm happy.
Yes. And Hatter.
Yeah, it's a very complicated situation with Withers. It's not a win-win for anybody. I think it's okay to share the stories. It's okay to mourn the loss. It's okay to love the beast. For those that can and don't, it's to try to save them.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. All right. Let's see. So where do we go from here? Which elephant has the bigger ears? Does anyone know? How you tell the difference
African.
Between an Asian elephant?
Yeah, African.
Okay. Head of the class.
Sorry.
I don't know which one's got the biggest ones, but I know that they're 100-pound ear.
The African is how they cool off in the hotter environment.
Yeah.
The African elephant has a much bigger ear and is shaped differently than the Asian elephant. Asian elephants have a much smaller ear because the African elephant does cool himself off with their much bigger ears. So, and they all love the mud because that's cool.
Cool.
They're funky little creatures. Yeah, but I still can't get over they can get pregnant till they're 50. Oh, my gosh, no. I don't think so. I don't want to be pregnant at 50. I don't want to have no baby. And I certainly don't want to carry a baby for close to 2 years. Can you even imagine just being pregnant for 2 years?
No.
Oh.
No.
In that landscape, that unforgiving, you know, the land they live in too. Not like they're kicked back in some condo.
Well, of the different elephants, the African has the longest lifespan. He actually lives longer than the Asian elephant.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, there were stories back at the turn of the century, the 1800s, that there was, when the ivory market was, trades were happening big time, the rogue male elephants, which are eventually invited to leave the herd during their musk. I think it's the musk. They are one of the most dangerous animals to be seen. That was the start of the slaughter because they were human killers. They remembered the slaughter. They remembered the being chased. So the rogue elephant was one of the big reasons that they were slaughtered the way they were by sort of the countrymen or the countries that they're at. There's pictures of a rogue elephant that during their, I think it's the musk. I'm not sure if that's the right term, the same term as like a deer.
Yeah,
but they are,
well,
is it? You can tell by,
well, I'm going to talk about
gland.
Some fun things. I want to talk about fun things instead of crazy elephants being nuts and we're slaughtering them. I want to talk about why we got to keep them.
Okay.
Their trunks can suck up and store 2 gallons of water. Shut up, Alexa. The elephants can store up. They can pick up sound vibrations from 50 miles away. The Sumatran elephant is the smallest of the species, by the way, and they only weigh about 5 tons. At birth, they can weigh up to 264 pounds. That's a big baby. Elephants are born blind.
Yes.
And elephants can recognize themselves in the mirror.
I love those videos that put mirrors in front of the animals and see how they react.
Yes. I think that is absolutely one of the funniest things ever. That they can recognize themselves in a mirror. Yes. How they communicate. They communicate. It's not just the regular trumpet sound that we recognize, but they also recognize by touch, scent, and vibration, which is kind of cool. The elephant trunks have around 150,000 muscles. 150,000 muscles just in their trunk. That is insane.
I think it's one of the most. I think it's one of the most complicated appendages of any animal. Yeah.
Okay, and this, of course, my favorite because everybody loves a baby elephant, okay? Elephants can weigh 264 pounds at birth. To put things in perspective, an English Mastiff, the largest dog breed, can weigh around 160 pounds fully grown. A baby elephant is 100 pounds more than that. A calf can stand within 20 minutes after birth and walks within an hour. An elephant can pretty much walk while in gestation. No, I don't know that. But elephants carry for 18 to 22 months. In 2 days, a baby elephant can keep up with the entire herd. That's truly impressive considering they average about 15 miles a day and can reach 90 miles an hour. So where our babies can't get up on the table. In 2 days, a baby elephant is walking almost 90 miles per day. Not mind you, 90 miles an hour, but 90 miles a day. That's insane. A baby, these poor mamas that not only carry these babies for 22 months, can have babies up until they're 50, keep these babies till they're about 10 years old. So there you go. A little sad thing, you know, is if a mama elephant does lose her baby, she'll grieve, and she will sometimes carry that baby, the dead calf, for days.
Yeah.
And one thing I love and I'm very jealous of is elephants have eyelashes that are about 5 inches long. And
no.
Here's something we all want to know. A single elephant can produce about 250 pounds of poop every day.
And you thought you had a badass on it, didn't you?
That's right. And they want to pick up my dog poop? Huh. I'm glad I don't have an elephant. That's all I can say.
You just need a tractor.
I know. Oh, no. Lady A, where'd you go? Oh, there you are. I thought I lost you, but I lost Hatter. Hatter, call back.
That's
come
him.
Back. What happened?
I don't know. I was there, and then I wasn't. So it was just like, okay. Happened
okay.
Something. But
come
I
back.
Was wondering, since
come
I, while I was dropped, I heard, as I came back on, you were in the middle of a conversation about how they communicate. That was one of the cutest
uh-huh.
ones I found. And we're all used to the like that chunk
trumpet
bugle noise and some grunts
yeah.
and stuff like that. But I didn't know mm-hmm. that they purred like a kitten.
Yeah, I didn't mention that, but that's really cool. They purr.
It is cool.
They make all kinds of guttural and weird sounds, and I think that's really awesome. So I am going to go ahead and have Lady A read her poem, even though I just jumped out of all poetry and I have to log myself in. So, Lady A, let's get you up on the board. I'm very interested in your poem because I absolutely love that picture. It's like one I might like want to put up on my in my home. I am just crazy. And then I want you to talk about the story you put on the board.
Yeah.
But go ahead and read your poem first.
Okay. So I wrote this in 2017, and it's called Humans for Pachyderms. Protected from poachers' hands, rifles with hunters banned, orphan calves cry for mom, Trump lifts the ban of protection, elephants doomed to certain death, conceited hunters show off their prize, tusks will now be the reason why. Elephants will quickly die, lest we speak with outraged voice, each one of us must take a stand. Pachyderms will become extinct. Help those who help preserve all elephants across the world need us to speak and be their voice to reinstate the righteous ban, saving elephants throughout the land. End poem. And that was when Trump lifted the ban and signed an agreement to lift the ban on hunting elephants. Brave ban that he was. And that is an acrostic who means protect elephants. And the story on the board is
well, hold on, let me give you
the,
some comments.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay. I think we all need to stand up and speak for the protection of the elephant, of any creature that we're slaughtering and we're not going to have on Earth. I think it's sad that we do have the human soul that, you know, wants to hunt just to hunt. without hunting for food or sustainability or things like that. And that's the problem with a lot of these animals, is there's no reason to hunt them. If there were a reason, you know, I am for hunting for sustainability of human life, not for hunting for
nothing. For sport.
Yeah, just to get, because I think the left part of your ear or the hair under your left, you know, nose is going to give me some kind of spiritual power. I don't understand that. I just don't understand that. And that's greed, that's ego, that's all kinds of things. So that's what we have to speak on and protect these animals. Deb, your thoughts on this?
Well, I think that elephants, in the second half of the poem, elephants will quickly die lest we speak with outraged voice. Each one of us must take a stand. And Carter was touching on that earlier. You know, who is capable of doing so and doesn't try to help, shame on them. I mean, we're running out of time to stand up and do something. And elephants will quickly die is way more powerful of a sentence than it should be. And it's a sad reality. And it's a great share. And yes, that picture is amazing. As if you could cup an elephant in the palms of your hand. But it's an amazing picture. Amazing poem.
Thank you.
Yeah. And we're going to welcome back Hatter. And I don't know if Hatter got a chance to hear any of that poem, but if you did, please comment.
I dropped right when it was starting to be read.
Okay.
Okay,
that's fine. And okay.
I promise to be quiet.
So I'm going
to
get Rackentor. You don't have to be quiet. And Rackentor, if you want to go ahead and give your comments.
Yeah, I like the it's an acrostic. You made that seamless. If you hadn't pointed that out, I wouldn't have noticed. And I usually look for stuff like that. But you know, you did a great job with that. And you know, the plight of the elephant needs to be heard. Like you mentioned, you know, we need to raise our voices about, you know, the ban. And it was despicable when Trump said that, you know, it was okay to start hunting them again. There's absolutely no reason for it. Absolutely no reason. I mean, I can't imagine any reason. You know, the beauty of it and everything. I would even argue that if anyone wanted the ivory, there's enough dead elephants around that you don't need to go shooting fresh elephants for it and stuff like that. I mean, it makes me crazy thinking about it. And you know, it's trophy hunting, and it's just unconscionable. It really is.
Absolutely. And the story on the board that you just posted, you want to give us your elephant story you brought?
This, you know, elephants are many things, and you know, you say an elephant never forgets. Well, they truly don't. And this is a true story of Shirley the elephant, and she and Jenny the elephant, when they were young, when they were first kidnapped, were together for a brief time, and then they were separated into different circuses. And Shirley spent her entire life, and I do believe it was over 25 years, in this particular circus, and she never, ever saw another elephant again while she was in the circus. And so she was rescued and sent to a refuge. And it shows, it's the story, her keeper is there, and he played a marvelous role in her life. He was a very kind and loving person who took care of her. And so she had to go to this refuge because a zoo couldn't keep her. I believe that was the background. And when she got to the refuge, there was a reunion because Jenny was there. Unbeknownst to the people running the place, they didn't realize the association between them. And it shows the intensity of their memory and how they tried all night to bend the bars to be together in their trunks, caressing each other. And it was very intense. And they lived their lives out together after that. And it shows a bit of how they spent their time. Jenny passed away before Shirley did, but it's a wonderful story. It's a true story, and they have the elephants right there. These are actually Shirley and Jenny, and I just love this story.
Wow. That's incredible.
It really,
that
truly
is. Yeah, that is. I really, really like that. So, I think, if I am correct, we have gone through all the poetry. Looking. Okay. Okie doke. Dum. Hatter, you need to read your poet. I lied.
Okay.
We have not gone through all the poetry.
I wrote this.
Board.
It was basically for a endangered species. The one I was given to me was the gorillas, but it's for any endangered species, so it fits the elephant also. Let me get down to it. That's me right there. And it's called the Killing Walk. If you see the picture there, that is the actual extinction, the clock of extinction. The great apes were down to the last 5 minutes. That's how much time they had it in the, how they, a species goes extinct is a clock. And goes like this. Whispered sadness carried in waves, a message of truth that's hidden away. Detoured winds blow out of despair, softened voices screaming to share. Falling leaves on canvas shown, survival will not again be known. Counted waves on nature's shores, losing ticks in this planet's war. Sadness fills the eyes that see the killing walk of humanity. And note that we are losing the battle of animal extinction due to poaching and senseless killing of endangered species. Time is no longer a friend to these, our beautiful animals. Make a difference and be a part of the awareness. God help the animals. I think I got a medal for this.
You should have gotten a medal for this. This is beautiful. This is just absolutely stunning. I like the title, too. Whispered sadness carried in waves, a message of truth that is hidden away. Detoured winds blow out of despair, softened voices seem to share. That first stanza is incredible. I cannot say enough about it. It just kind of took me and literally took my breath away. I, like, literally sucked it from my chest. I just, wow. And your author's notes are quite incredible, too. Deb, your thoughts on this, please?
Unmuted.
I'm sorry, I couldn't find the damn button to light the phone so I could unmute myself. This phone is really ticking me off. But no, I'm sorry. Great. Great poem, Hatter. The title, The Killing Walk, was a really sad title. That photo's really sad. And whispered sadness carried in waves, a message of truth that is hidden away. Detoured winds blow our deepest, our despair, softened voices screaming to share. Isn't that what we're doing right now, screaming to share? Much information as we can pack in here on these elephants. Great chair having.
Thank you. Thank you. Have you guys seen the video of if you would type on YouTube and put caught in a stampede, elephant stampede? These people that see in front of them, the elephants running for their, like, look like they're running for their lives, man, in front of them. They're not aware of is the herd that's running sort of right on top of them. You just saw the first ones, and they come through the brush, and then like that this Jeep or truck that they're in, they're sort of right in the middle of it. It's pretty intense. They're scared animals for some reason, and they're running. Not a place to be.
Yeah, really? Unmute, sweet.
Unmute. We didn't lose her, did we?
I hope not.
Okay, it seems like it's playing musical chairs with kicking us out of here, and it's Sweet's turn. So I'm sure she's dialing back in right now. So anyway, look at the board while we wait. I'll read this one. Elephants are highly intelligent animals, and studies have shown that they possess a variety of complex emotions and feelings, including deep compassion and surprising self-awareness. Like humans, elephants have large cortexes in their brains, and they are not born with survival skills. They have to learn the skills from older elephants in early years of life. Elephants often pay homage to the bones of their dead, gently touching the skulls and tusks with their trunks and feet before, as a group, they scatter the bones, and they remember the spot of death. And when the elephants walk past the place where a loved one once died, they'll stop them in their tracks, and a silent pause often lasts several minutes. That's friggin' amazing.
You know the legend of the Cyclops, the giants, the native Indians, the Aboriginal Indian people of the land, when they found these skulls, these huge skulls that had a big hole in the middle of their forehead, and they thought that was the eye. And what it is, that's where the elephant has that sub tone that they communicate with that we can't hear. But for many years, they thought that was the Cyclops. Interesting. And you know how you know how you get out of an elephant? How you get out of an elephant?
How you get
out of an elephant? You run around, around, around till you're pooped out.
Oh.
I'll go back in my corner. Okay.
I'm sorry. No, it's just your phone went really low and I couldn't hear you. Was it just me?
No.
And I'm having a feeling that my feet can't get back in.
Did you want to hear it again? I'm having trouble hearing Sweet when she talks too. So I don't know. I'm probably next to be kicked off here again.
I have a feeling it's more the studio than any of us. And plus, I said Sweet's not back in, so I don't know what's up with that. And I don't know. Did she get her poems in?
I think she said
I had another lap. She read hers. Do you have one, Rec?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so we did Stevens. I read. My Sweet read. Heather read. And Lady A read. So it looks like we covered all the poems. And I don't know how long it'll let us stay here without her. She's answering me in here. Because we could possibly be done if she can't get back in.
I remember a couple of times getting kicked out to where I wasn't allowed back in. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, she got an hour and a half before.
No, I'm sure she would. She would want to.
I'll tell you what, Hatter. Why don't you tell? Why don't you tell people what's going on tomorrow, and then if Sweet doesn't call back in, we will close up shop for her.
Okay, tomorrow is going to be just a Saturday, Friday, Friday the 13th, an unbirthday party. What we're going to do is I am going to do a little trivia. I'm going to show you some beautiful lyrics, and you're going to try to tell me what song it's from. No Googling. Just I will, as you come in, I will try to give you a chance to win points, I guess. I got points to give. Saturday will be a God, what was it? I got too much sun today.
Saturday will be. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you couldn't. It's not letting her back in, so I'm waiting for her to answer one last question. But I'm looking forward to Saturday, Hatter, because learn something new about what I chose as my influence, and I had no clue, you know. But anyway, yeah, something that happened between the time you were 5 and 20, a change or something in the world that influenced big change, right?
Yeah, as you were growing up, maybe, you know, between 5 and 15, let's say, what changed your world that made your life easier? What inspired or influenced your life the most? It could be from gaming to technology in the home, at work. Just a lot of things were invented and still are being invented, miniaturized and that kind of thing. So I wanted to see what the different people thought was high tech. And they're impressed with and inspired by.
Absolutely. Cool. And then on Sunday, the show moves over to the grown-up side of the team of voices, and you could check out the Pretty Sweet Teas with Pre-Bird and Sweet Pea, and click on for information on that show. On Monday, it's my show. I have photos for everyone. So just put your name on there, and I will say to you something like, oh, I have 29 photos for you. Give me a number between 1 and 29, and I will give you the photo that goes with that number. And on Tuesday, we go under the bus with Pretty Bird, Dog Days of Summer. What are the Dog Days of Summer? The term traditionally means a period of particularly hot and humid weather occurring during the summer months, July and August. So Pretty Bird would like you to bring a different kind of heat on Tuesday. And we will leave it there for the moment. And we will thank Sweet Pea for an amazing, informative show of love for these elephants, and for giving us a place to express our concerns for their dwindling numbers, and the compassion that she has for them was very evident every time she talked about them. I know that if it would have let her back in, she would have said a big thank you to Raconteur, and she would have said thank you to me, and she would have said thank you to Hatter, and she would have said thank you to the Queen of Canada. And we all say thank you to her, filled with love and respect. And
she probably would have thanked Stephen,
too.
Gotta
love the elephant. So see you guys tomorrow on Friday the 13th. The Mad Hatter on his sunny birthday. I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am. Okay. That was the whole question?
Yes, I just wondered how we're going to end the show if nobody's there.
Oh, yeah, okay, no, cool, yeah. Good question. Yeah, no, it's all good. But, yeah, so Thank you again, my sweet. Amazing advocacy. So love and respect to you all. And you don't have to go home, but you cannot stay here because we out of here.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks, guys.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.